Let's just hope that the message is not that way, amen? We want to start out, we want to lift up Pastor Tony Zapata. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor. He is now in ICU. He's on a ventilator, and the church there, they've reached out across the nation asking all of us, every congregation, to lift him up, amen? Why don't we go to the throne of grace together? And let's just unite our heart and our faith. Amen. Father, this morning in Jesus' name, as we prepare to celebrate and rejoice in your word that is living and sharper, powerful, and all that it is, Lord, we just come to you now with Pastor Tony, Lord, and those that love him, his family. And there, Lord, he's intubated and he's on a ventilator, and this COVID is just, oh God, in Jesus' name. You who can do anything, you who said that nothing is too hard for you, reach out now as you would the great physician. Touch his body. Bring healing to him, O God, right this moment. Let him live and not die. And bless all the nurses and all the doctors across our state and across our land that are laboring so hard with this pandemic. And Father, for the so many people, even today, that are running fever at home, we pray over them for healing, and Lord, just displace the fever and fill them with the perfect anointing and peace of your Holy Spirit, Father. And this morning, help me to teach your word, not only faithfully, not only truthfully, not only accurately, but the sheep of your pasture, Father, open their hearts and open their ears to these incredible truths that they are about to hear again, and let them come alive in our hearts forever and ever. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. We're back in, of course, a perfect time to break. We're in Colossians, and we had a perfect break last Sunday and so forth. I was down in Houston. And God, it was just a wonderful time there. And with all that being said, we're going to be in chapter 3 this morning. And let me just read a few of the verses, if you don't mind. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." I'll not be covering verse 5, but let me read it anyway. Based on what we just read, it says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." And the church says, amen. Listen, this morning we're going to talk, Paul writing from the prison there in Rome, we're going to talk about the topic of where Christ is. Let's say that together, where Christ is. We've reached the perfect place of transition. The first two chapters are doctrinal, if you will, and who we are in Christ Jesus, and we're going to find out our position this morning as well. But then we move into chapters 2 and 4, which are now practical, or we walk out our position, or we walk worthy of our calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So we have learned and know that Jesus is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. He's the sole head of the universe, the supreme sole head of the church, which is his body. Amen. And that in verse 18, it tells us that in chapter 1, that in all things, everything, that Jesus may have the preeminence. In other words, be first place in everything, and that means our life as well. Amen? Now, but with all that being said, let's leave the false teachers, the Gnostics, let's just let them go now, okay? They weren't winning anyone to Jesus Christ. They were false teachers. They were kidnapping those that were in Christ Jesus. And they trusted in, remember, that false secret knowledge through mysticism, the worship of angels and so forth, which was not of God. They trusted that knowledge to save them. They were teaching the people at Colossae, ascetics, sidums, their word, say that with me. Yeah, he got it. You know, some words are hard to pronounce. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Like, forgive me? That's a hard one, isn't it? Now, with all that being said, the worship of angels, the doctrines of men that the Gnostics were involved in, we're going to leave behind. But I want us to begin this morning, again, the topic, where Christ is. Very important word. Look at chapter 2, verse 23, where Paul concludes and he talks about all that the Gnostics were doing. He says, these things, the asceticism, the doctrines of men, the worship of angels, he says, they have an appearance of wisdom. They look really wise in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence or the restraining of the flesh. None at all. So these things, all those things, Paul said, they have failed. And they're no value against the indulgence or the sins of the flesh because, you see, those things can never change the heart of a person, amen? Rules and regulations, a flesh doesn't eradicate flesh, let's put it that way. So these things, what did they do? Remember verse 19, it says that they severed the believers from the head. The place, which is Christ, the place of all spiritual nourishment and strength. So with all that being said, let's begin this morning and look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, and the word if there is not a conditional statement, it should really read since you were raised with Christ. You know, really, if we were in tune with the Spirit of God, you know what we should do right now, or what we would be doing? We would be on our feet and we would be celebrating. Loved one, listen to me. These four verses that we have this morning, do not allow the doctrine of deadly familiarity to steal the incredible truths that we have in these scriptures, loved one. It says, since then, you were, past tense, it's already an accomplished fact, amen? You were raised with Christ. That's not a theory. That's not some kind of goal that we're striving for. No, listen, it is not only a fact, it's an accomplished fact. What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Amen? I died, man. Paul says, I died a long time ago. So when we read this, yes, that's good, but we have to believe it. And not only do we have to believe it, we have to live it. Jesus is risen from the dead, just as he said, amen? And guess what? We were raised with him. What a glorious, wonderful truth. We, loved one, we are resurrected people. That's who we are. Our identification with Jesus Christ is so complete that we stand outside of the grave where Christ is after he was raised from the dead. Do you understand? That's our position right this very minute in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why there in verse 1 connects us all the way back to chapter 2, verse 12. Look at it with me. It says, we were buried with him. Not in him, but with him. Did you get that? In baptism, that's talking about when we were placed in the body of Christ. That's a new birth, not water baptism. So buried with him in baptism, in which you were also what? Raised. We were buried with Christ. We were raised with Jesus through the faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, Calvary Chapel, being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning the body of sin, he, meaning Jesus, look what's happened. He has made us alive together with Jesus, having forgiven all our trespasses. Loved one, listen, we are the only truly believers, that is, Christians, are the only truly resurrected people on this planet. Did you know that? And we need to have that into our heart, and we need to live like resurrected people. Let me give you a scripture about this in Romans 6:3. Paul says, do you not know that as many of us that were immersed, baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Listen, the word baptizo there, when we were baptized, planted, let me just read the next scripture. And it says, therefore we were buried with Jesus. buried with him through baptism into Christ's death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if, and it is a fact, he says, if we've been united with Christ, if we've been planted together with Christ in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him. So the thing is that our old man, we reckon him dead, amen? All that we were in Adam. Now listen, the baptizo, or that immersion, loved one, we have been placed. That's not talking about water. It's talking about being in Christ, in his death, in his resurrection. We were placed in a whole brand new environment, and it can never change again. Amen? We left the old environment. Now we're in the brand new environment, being with Christ Jesus, that we should walk in a newness of life. What does that mean? It means that we now possess a life that we have never possessed before. What does the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation. That word means a person that has never existed before, brand new, a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, the Bible, remember when we covered Colossians 1:27? Christ in you, Christ himself, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen carefully. The one who created all things, the one who sustains all things, the one who is before all things, the one who is holding everything together, by him all things consist, the sole supreme head of the church and the sole supreme head of the entire universe, listen to me, lives in you. No, listen, do you really believe that? Come on, church. Listen, this is an altar of the Lord. We are his living sacrifices. We are his servants. Amen? Do you believe that? Right this minute, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word hope is not we're hoping it's going to happen. That word means the sure expectation that one day when we get home, we're going to have a glorified body. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you mean that you actually live in me? Christianity is Christ. The life of the founder lives in the life of the follower. You know what that means? It means that everything in our life has changed. Our position has totally changed because we're no longer in Adam. It means this, 1 John 4:17, as he is, present tense, right this very second, so are we in this world right now. That is an incredible, glorious, wonderful verse. So since we are resurrected, don't you think that we should not only live a resurrected life, but also have a resurrected walk? Amen? Now, with all that being said, it's our responsibility to live above this world because this world is not our home. Amen? There's nothing here at all. Matter of fact, the church, the Christian, we're the only people on this planet that has overcome this world. 1 John 5:4-5. Amen? We've overcome the world because we're in Christ Jesus our Lord. No one on earth can make that claim except those in Christ Jesus. Now, with all this being said, how do we do all of this? How do we go into verse 1 and complete verse 1 and following? And here's the way. We have to now embrace the mindset of our true identity in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at verse 1 again. Since you were raised, past tense, remember, since you were raised with Christ, look what we're to do now. Seek those things which are above. The word seek there in the Greek, of course, it's present tense continuous. It means to keep on seeking, an ongoing seeking. It means to strive earnestly for. You could read it in the Greek like this. The things above be constantly seeking. Now listen carefully. We are not seeking things above to possess things above. Remember what Paul told the church at Corinth? He said, all things are yours. Do you understand? Are we already co-heirs with Christ? Do all things belong to us, that everything that belongs to him belongs to us? Yeah, amen, loved one. Are we citizens of heaven? Yes. Listen, have we, Ephesians 1:3, thanks be unto God the Father, who has, past tense, has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have it all. So when we go there and we seek those things above, man, listen, we're not seeking those things, if you will, to possess them, for they're already ours. Well, what are we doing? Well, we seek those things above, yes, again, because we're citizens of heaven, but we also are not seeking heaven. We're seeking the one who dwells in heaven. Look at it. It says, seek those things. Be constantly seeking those things above, which are above. Why? Where Christ is. Oh, man. Did you get that? Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Where Christ is. Right this minute. Loved one, listen. We are the sheep of his pasture. And here's what we must do. Every day, we must order our entire life around the throne of grace, because he's there. That's where Christ is. Amen? So that's what we have to do. That's where Christ is sitting. He's not standing. He's sitting because our sins are paid for. Our salvation is complete. There's no more sacrifices for sin. He was the only sacrifice for sin. And he also is sitting there. Why? Where Christ is where Christ rules. Amen? He is ruling right this minute. He is sitting at the highest place of honor and authority in the entire universe, and he's over everything right this minute. It says in Ephesians 1:21 that Jesus, there he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's far above all principality. He's far above everyone and everything, no matter what it is. All principality, or all rule and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. At this very second, very moment, do you know that Jesus sees us right now? Do you know this day all around the world that there are believers worshiping the Lord and hearing the word of God? And do you know what? Right now, I look at this place and I say, Lord, this is your altar. And right behind me is the throne of grace, and he's looking right at you. And listen to me, Jesus doesn't see a crowd. Jesus only sees individuals. Amen? And you're the sheep of his pasture, and we're right here. We don't see him, but I can assure you that he knows what I'm saying. He knows everything that you're doing, every thought. Man, he is with us, and he is for us, and he is ruling. Every title that you can name in this age or the age to come, there is no greater name than Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Now listen again, very important word. We are his sheep. And his sheep, if we're truly sheep, here's what we must do. We order our entire life, if you will, around the throne of grace. And why do we do that? That's where Christ is. That's where he is right now. All of our seeking, all of it, is done at the throne of grace. Again, why do we do it? Jesus is there, amen? That's where he is. So we seek those things that are above. Why? Our resources, our provision, everything that we need is where Christ is. Colossians 2:3, is he the greatest source of all wisdom and knowledge in the universe? Yes, everything you need. I mean, if he knows everything about everything, why would we go to anybody else? Why call your buddy? He doesn't know anything. I go to the one who knows everything about everything, the one who, Jesus can never be taught. He's God. Do you understand? No. Man, everything we need, all the riches of the treasures of his knowledge and wisdom available for you right there. Where? Where he is, at the throne of grace. That's why we go there. Not only that, what did Jesus tell us to do in Matthew 6:33? He says, seek ye first, that's the priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these, what? Things will be subtracted from you. No, they will be added unto you. What things is Jesus talking about? He's talking about all the things that the people of the world that are lost are seeking after. He says, you don't have to be like them. You don't have to worry about your food or what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear in context of Matthew 6:33. He says this, oh no, keep on seeking. Man, come around the throne of grace. That's where I am. That's where I want you to come to. Everything that you need is right there, and it will be added unto you. All of our provision, every bit of our resources is where Christ is. And here's what's so wonderful. You are a believer. And you know what? Our position, not talking about our practice right now, our position, because we are in Christ Jesus, is one of perfect. Amen? Yes, I know it's hard to even say it, isn't it? Because we really know that we're losers. But we have been placed, or his righteousness has now, imputation, has been delivered over to us when we became a Christian. Amen? Put to our account the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? It tells us this. Now listen to me. Here we are. This is an altar of God. We're living sacrifices. We're his servants. There's the throne of grace right there. Jesus is looking at us. And here's what he says. You know what? Your position because of me and what I did on the cross, your sins have been paid for. You have been justified just as if you had never sinned because Jesus never sinned. Amen? You know, you kept the law because why? Jesus kept the law. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. Now, we now have something. We have access to where Christ is. We can come. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come. Jesus is saying, yes, that's where I am. Come. I want you to come. That's an invitation. Come and appropriate things by faith. Believe the promises of God. Every promise of God is yes and again, yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? We don't define those promises. God does. Listen, he says, oh, come. Come right now. He tells us, listen, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace. Grace, not judgment. There is not one charge against you at the throne of grace. Remember what we learned in chapter 2, that the handwriting of the requirements of the law which were against us, which are sins and trespasses, were they nailed to the cross? That means our debt has been paid, fully paid. Our sins are now far as the east is from the west. See, we can come there. Did you go there? Did you even go there this morning? See, Jesus is there where he is. We can come to. We have access. And it says, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Not for salvation, we're already saved, loved one. That we may obtain mercy, it says, and find grace. Find grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned, divine favor of the living God, which we stand in 24/7 because of Christ Jesus our Lord. He says that you may find grace to do something, to help. Do you need help? He says, oh, you can find help in time of need. That means right now, whenever you need it. That means right this very second. I'm going to tell you something. Hebrews 4:16, it's either real or it's not real. That scripture is either truth or it's a lie. That scripture is either available to every believer or it's unavailable. And here's what we need to ask ourselves. If there is grace to help there where Christ is, why would we go anyplace else? Why would we go anyplace else. Where are you going for help? Listen, we are his sheep. We were buried with him. We were raised with him to a newness of life. Amen? Listen, we order our entire life now around the throne of grace. Why? That's where Jesus is. Oh, loved one, listen to this now. And we are already positionally speaking where Christ is at this very moment. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 2:4. But thank God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. I love that scripture, don't you? His great love, meaning a love that you cannot ever measure. It's measureless. God is love. Amen? He says, oh, because of his great love with which he loved us. How did God love us? John 3:16, amen? Calvary. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It's Romans 5:8, it says that God demonstrates or proves his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He says, oh, in which he loved us, here it comes, even, he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, when we loved self, when we loved sin, when we lived in darkness, and we may have not known we were in darkness, but we loved darkness. He says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to what God has done. He has made us alive together. Say that word together. Together. He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and here it comes, and raised us up together with Jesus and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you catch those words? Let me give them to you again. Alive together with Christ, raised up together with Christ, made us sit together in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you lost your identity? Has someone stolen your identity? That happens today, doesn't it? I mean, do you know who you are in Christ Jesus, our Lord? You were not only buried with Christ, raised with Christ, ascended with Christ. You are seated with Christ right this very moment. God has seated us, enthroned us, made us sharers in the dignity and dominion of our Lord. Listen to me now. Listen. We right now, positionally speaking, as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, we sit right this very minute where Jesus is reigning. Do you really believe that? No, come on, church. Oh, you know, kicking cans down the road. And come on. Listen, I was in prayer off on all night long over this message. I said, Lord, help me get this down. Help me so I can, I want that. I want that for us. You know that God wants that for us. Amen? He says, oh, listen, we sit where he reigns. That is our position right this very minute. It's an accomplished fact. We are so closely identified with the head of the church, which is Christ, because we are his body. We are bone of his bone. We're flesh of his flesh. We are so closely identified with Jesus Christ right this minute, loved one, that we, in a sense, no, we do share in his exaltation. Now, we're the sheep. We're not the head. Amen? Yes, right this minute. Again, what did I say earlier? And what was it? 1 John 4:17. As Jesus is right this very moment, so were we in this world here. Why? Because we are sitting where Jesus is reigning. So what do we do then? Well, look at verse 2. It says, set your minds on things above. Why do we do that? Come on, church. Why? Where Christ is. Amen? Okay, that means that's the place where Jesus is ruling right this minute, in eternity. He says, and not things on earth. Things down here, loved one, this is where sin rules. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Is everything you see temporary? Absolutely. So we are his sheep. What do we do again? We order our lives around the throne of grace. Why? Because all of our seeking is done above where Christ is. And that was a command. And now we have another command. It says to set our mind on things above. That is present tense, meaning an ongoing effort. Literally, you could read it this way. Keep thinking, keep meditating about things above. So in other words, renew your mind to things above. Why? That's where Jesus is. That's where Christ is right this minute. And loved one, there are only two places for any believer to set their mind. You're either going to set your mind where Christ is, or you're going to set your mind on this stinking earth. Do you understand? You got to really, boy, I tell you, listen, and I'm going to tell you this, and where we set our mind is going to determine what we seek in this life. Yeah, listen, a mind can only two things can occur in a person's mind, a believer's mind. You are either being conformed to this world, or you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God. Amen? Now, so we are to set our minds on things above, where Christ is. That means things that are eternal. We're not to set our minds on things on this earth. Why? Because they are temporary things. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look, or that man, our gaze, we have it, the fixed gaze. We do not look at things which are seen, but we look at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, to set your mind on things above where Christ is means that we are now consumed with the invisible, something that we can't even see, but we believe by faith He's there. We know He's there. Amen. We also know He's here right now with us. We're His body. Now, the seen world, what we see with our eyes, I mean, I can assure you, think Jesus, you know, when the end, you think this, He's going to take this building to heaven? Hello. I mean, you know, we got enough problems in this underground right now to scare anybody to death. No. I mean, this is temporary. It's perishing. But the unseen world where Christ is eternal. It's permanent. It is forever and ever and ever. And everything on this earth is perishing and is temporary. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, we have to have a mindset like the Old Testament saint, the lawgiver Moses. You know what I mean? Man, listen, you know, he wouldn't give himself over to the temporary. Let me read it to you from Hebrews 11:24, the Hall of Fame of Faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, Pharaoh had a plan for Moses. He was going to be the next Pharaoh, but God had a better plan. Amen? He says, choosing rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Suffer affliction with the people of God. What did Moses do? He identified, like we identify with Christ. He identified with his own people, the people of God, and he suffered with them as well. And here comes, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches or the treasures in heaven, he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Egypt has always been a symbol of the what? The world. In other words, things below. He says, no, I don't want the world. He renounced it all, and he says, not fearing the wrath of the king, here it comes. For Moses endured as seeing him, we could put it this way, for us, seeing where Christ is, who is invisible. Boy, listen, he made a choice. He says, do I want what I see? Egypt, the treasures? Do I want to be the Pharaoh? It's temporary, it's perishing, it's going to be gone. Or do I want what is eternal? You know what he did? He turned away from all of it and he looked to the reward. Amen. Faith. Have you ever seen the throne of grace? Me neither. But you know, I visualize it. I know that maybe it was weird, but you know, I'm a weird person anyway. When I pray, I know it's there. I know it's there. And I know that Jesus is sitting. He's ruling. He's reigning. See, faith, like Moses, faith sees the invisible. Amen? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. See, that's we walk by faith. And not only that, look at verse 3. This, it gets gooder and gooder. Watch this. For you died. Isn't that, do you have that one on your refrigerator? You died, man. That's past tense. Watch this. Oh, here comes present tense. Your life, present tense, is hidden with Christ in God. Why does Paul keep telling us that we died? You know why? He wants us to get it. When we get to verse 5, you better believe we need to be dead. Do you understand? To the old life, all that Adam represented. Amen? He says, no, listen, he wants us to get this right now. Paul is saying this physically, yes, we're here. In other words, this old crummy body, the outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen? So physically, yes, we are still here, but spiritually, we are right now, present tense, already where Christ is. Does that make sense? That is our position. It has to be that. Why? Because our life, look at it. Your life is what? Hidden. Where is it hidden at? With Christ. Where is Christ? He's sitting at the right hand of God, at the throne of, listen to me. Our life is hidden where? Where Christ is. Oh, listen, we are no longer of the earthly realm, but we are now with Christ in God in the unseen realm. It's already done. It's an accomplished fact. Are you getting this? Yes. Listen, I look and I say, oh, Lord. And not only that, the tense of the word here is imperfect. Your life is hidden. It's imperfect, meaning this. It indicates ongoing effects. Our life has been hidden with Christ and continually remains that way. You see, you thought you were on probation, didn't you? You thought you had to earn God's love and forgiveness. You thought that you had to, like the Gnostics were teaching, you got to punish your body and live by this and that, and maybe God will put a star on your report card. No, we're saved by grace, loved one. That doesn't mean you live any way you want to. You know better than that. No, no. Listen, the word hidden denotes two things. Number one, security, safety. Number two, it denotes a permanent, unchangeable condition. Listen, our life right now is laid up safely where Christ is. For all eternity. Isn't that glorious news? Do you remember what Jesus said in John 5:24? Listen to what he said. He uses the word assuredly, most assuredly. In other words, in Greek, he uses the Hebrew words amen and amen. He says, amen and amen, or most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, or he says to everyone who hears my word, whoever it is, you hear my word, you believe in him who sent me, has, present tense, you possess it right now, everlasting life. Here, listen to these words. You shall not come into the judgment, but you have already passed from death into life. Think about that. Praise the Lord. Listen, again, amen, amen, or most assuredly. Remember when I taught through John? Remember what those words meant? Let me read it to you. It means truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen. In the Greek, this is strong. It is sure. It is certain. It is immutable, infallible truth, and can never be changed. We who were condemned to die for our sins, right now, present tense, we have everlasting life. We have eternal life. We have his life. Why? Because Christ is our life. Amen. I look and I say, oh, Lord, you mean we're really not going to come into judgment? Oh, the Bema Seat judgment, yes, but not the great white throne. You know what I mean? We're not going to be judged for our sins. Jesus paid the sin debt of the world. Amen. No, listen, we're not going to come into judgment. Did you know, you've probably heard me say, we don't have to wait to get to heaven, loved one, and stand before God to find out what the verdict is. And there are a lot of Christians that are worried about that. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. You know what? There is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation. There is no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the deal. Our judgment is not future. Our judgment happened 2,000 years ago because we were co-crucified with Christ. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, who bore the sin or took the sin of the whole world. Amen? It's all been paid for. Listen, he says, and you're going to pass. You passed already. You've passed out of death, spiritual death, into life. What kind of life? The life that is endless. Oh, I say, dear Lord, listen. We are his sheep, and loved one, our entire life must revolve around the throne of grace. All of our seeking, all of our thinking is done there. Why? Well, not only because that's where Jesus is, but look at verse 4. Christ is our life. He says, for you died in verse 3, and your life is hidden with God. Hidden with Christ in God. That's a present reality, loved one. Now here it comes. And when Christ, who is our what? Isn't that amazing? Christ, who is our life. Paul said, the life I live now, I live by faith through the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You know, he says, listen, he says, who is our life? Whenever he appears, guess what's going to happen? Then you will appear with him in glory. Future tense. Praise the Lord. Listen, we make so much of Christ our sacrifice, and we should, and we must do that. Amen? But why is it that the church makes so little of Christ our life? Right this very moment, loved one, Christ is our life. The one who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, who raised the dead and healed the leper and fed the thousands. Listen, that life is our life. And I look, oh, Lord, and whenever Jesus, who is our life, appears, manifested, made visible, guess what's going to happen? It says, then you will also be made visible or manifested in glory with him. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm going to tell you something. Right now, at this present moment, our life is definitely hidden with Christ in God. Our heavenly identity is real right this minute, but it's hidden. It's hidden. It's not unveiled yet. See, we don't look any different from the world, do we? But we act different, and we live different. Why? Christ is our life. And one day we're going to appear with him in glory. Listen to what Lightfoot says about this. He says, the veil which now shrouds your higher life from others will be withdrawn. And the world which now persecutes you, despises you, ignores you now, well, then they will be blinded with the dazzling glory of that revelation. Oh, what a day. That is our future, okay? Man, listen, 1 John 3:2, but now, beloved, we are children of God and not yet been revealed or not made fully clear, if you will, what we shall be. But we know when Jesus is appeared or when he is revealed, made manifest, when Jesus comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Philippians 3:20, we are citizens of heaven right now, not in the future. That promise is not then. The promise right now, we are citizens of heaven. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live in this world, but we live in this world with all the benefits of our citizenship, which is of another world, heaven. Listen, man, I have a passport to get out of here. I'm just waiting on the transport, amen? Oh, listen, we are eagerly waiting for what? For Jesus to appear. In other words, the rapture of the church, when he's going to take his bride to heaven. And what happens when we see him? Oh, listen, let me read it to you. Philippians 3:21, the moment we see him, he will transform this lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. This crummy, lowly body. You know what I mean? I told my wife this morning, I said, my hair doesn't grow on my head hardly anymore, but it grows everywhere else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and it grows like rapid. I mean, if I didn't trim myself up, I'd look like probably a gorilla or something, you know? What is that? I don't like any of that. You know, you can work out and you still look bad. Tell me about that. No, this lowly body that's going to return to the dust from which it came. Well, we're going to get a brand new body, loved one, brand new. We've already been changed inwardly, but we're going to be changed outwardly, and it's going to be incredible. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, and this I say, brethren, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to experience death. There's a generation that will not experience death. It might as well be us. We'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, when we hear the shout, when we meet the Lord in the air, amen? Listen, it says, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, at the end of the church age, loved one, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed suddenly, without warning, and instantly we meet the Lord in the air, and we are all, now we appear with him. We're going to come back with him at the second coming. Amen. Oh, and I say, oh Lord, you mean that's going to happen. Yeah, we're going to disappear from this planet. Boom, we're gone. No funerals, no tears. Hello. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are out of this place, the catching away. It might even happen today. Time is short. I know it's time to go, but listen to me one more time. Where Christ is, we're alive together with Christ. I'm reading it. Raised up together with Christ. He's made us sit together in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're buried with Christ, raised with Christ, ascended with Christ, seated with Christ. And we, here we are. We're the sheep of his pasture. We are his body. And you know what we do, loved one? Listen, we order our entire life around the throne of grace. All of our thinking and all of our seeking and all whatever we do is done above where Christ is. And here's what we need to do right now. We must be like Mary. When you find Mary, remember Mary, Martha's sister. Every time you find Mary in Scripture, where is she at? She's at the feet of Jesus. Now listen to me now. Let us just for a minute be like Mary. Let us go to where Christ is. And it says in Hebrews 4:16 again, come boldly. That the word boldly there is, it means the highest form of confidence, total confidence. Can you imagine that? Jesus We know where he is. He's seated at the right hand of God. He is at the throne of grace. This is God's altar. You're his living sacrifices. We are his servants. And he's there. And he says to us, what is your need this morning? Are you ill? Is it for another loved one? Maybe a sick child? Maybe your mother, dad that's in the hospital with COVID? Maybe it's your finance, whatever it might be. Jesus says, listen, now that you know where I am, come boldly to me. He says, you come boldly to me right now, to the throne of grace. There's nothing against you here. I paid for it all. And he says, if you'll come, you'll obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, in Jesus' name, as we close out this service, here is your altar of living sacrifices. Here, oh Father, are your servants. Oh Jesus, we know where you are. You know every need. And here's what's happening. Lord Jesus, right now, your sheep, they're gathered around the throne of grace with me. And Lord God, they're presenting, they've come boldly, and they have these requests, and they need to obtain this grace and this mercy and this help in time of need. You told us to come. Well, here we are. We believe it's available. We believe this is true. We believe that right now we are where Christ is. And there are our petitions. Oh Lord, touch your sheep, for they have gathered around your throne. Thank you for answering their request. In your name, the greatest name in the universe, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, maybe you're here today and you might be young, you might be old, but you know, here's the deal. Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? If you are not where Christ is right now, and you do not receive Jesus as your Lord because he died for you and he loves you, you one day will find yourself where Christ isn't. And eternity is a long time to be wrong. Amen? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to close with a song. If you don't know Christ Jesus, you know, the altar is going to be open. There'll be people right here at the altar. They'll be praying with you. No matter what your request might be, I'd ask that you wear a mask, if you don't mind, when you come down to the altar. If you're visiting with us for the first time, I'd love to meet you. They have a free Cadillac over there waiting on you. Brant, you know that's a Texas lie, right? No, they do have some sort of gift. I'm not sure what it is, but they'd love to present it to you. And if you have the opportunity or the time, I'd love to meet you as well. I pray you have a safe Labor Day weekend. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Listen to me now. We know where Christ is. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord.